Have you ever seen a young T-ball player or coach pitch player take a big cut and then just chuck the bat, just fly right out of his hands? Or maybe a golfer, someone who's learning to golf, and somewhere along the lines, the club goes farther than the ball, just whew. Well, when I was growing up, a coach somewhere along the lines in baseball or golf used the analogy of holding on to the bat like holding on to a baby bird. He said you gotta hold it just firm enough to keep it from flying away, but not so tight that you kill it. And there's a dynamic of faith that's similar to this. We gotta cling to it, but not completely smother it. Faith is given to us in baptism, we say. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is often used alongside an image of a dove. And so there's this dove, this bird in our heart that is faith that we have to cling to. We have to hold that in our heart, but our grasp can't be so tight that it squelches that faith and leaves us incapable of being moved by it. We have to move with the Holy Spirit in faith if that's going to live in our hearts. There's this dynamic of faith in our readings here today. In the first reading from Ezekiel, we see that the Spirit has come into Ezekiel, and he is to go to the people of Israel, but they don't have faith. They're not willing to listen. They recognize that he's a prophet, but their hearts are closed. I think our scripture says that their faces were hardened and their hearts were obstinate. They were holding on too tightly to something that they weren't able to have faith. And then in our gospel, Jesus is in front of the synagogue people, these people that are there to worship God. But yet, they couldn't be moved by God himself, by Jesus Christ, in that moment to receive his message, to be open to the movement of faith in their hearts. So what prevents this faith from coming alive, from moving in our hearts, from us being able to use it, to cooperate with it? Well, it could be many things: sin, pride and arrogance, fear, cowardice, even a lack of willingness. But it's a closed heart, a heart that's holding on too tight to something. It's not willing to move. In Scripture, the heart is used to talk about the fullness of the person. It's not just the emotions, but it's more than that. It's our mind, it's our intellect, it's our will. The Latin word for heart is cor, C-O-R. It's the very center of the human person. And it's where our emotions, our affections, our mind, our memory, intellect, and will, all these converge at the heart. And so that's the image we use in Scripture, kind of for the soul. But I like the heart better than the soul. Not just because it's scriptural, but because sometimes I think we view the soul as this ghostly thing, this energy in us. It's separate from our body. But as humans, we're body and soul composite. We're together. There's a unity there. And the image of a heart brings that out and shows that it's tangible. It's real. And faith moves in our heart. Faith is not just trust in a person, but it's belief in that person's message as well. So, in a way, you can know that something exists, believe in it, without having faith in it, without actually believing them. Even the enemy believes that God is real, but he does not have faith in the Lord. And so we can believe that he exists, but are we able to give over our heart, entrust our mind, assent with our intellect, decide that we're going to believe the message the Lord is presenting to us. This is the dynamic of faith, of holding on to the Lord, but being open to receive his message, to not only believe in him and trust him, but then to decide with our whole being that we believe his message. The prophets were not believed by the people of Israel. Jesus was not always believed by the Jews in the synagogue. And sometimes the church is not always believed by the lay faithful, by the clergy even. God is still speaking through the church. The vicar of Christ, the Pope, is the mouthpiece of Jesus here on earth right now. And that doesn't mean that everything he says always is the voice of God directly. If he goes around and tells everybody that strawberry ice cream is the correct flavor of ice cream, you do not have to believe that. And he's wrong, it's chocolate. But nonetheless, he's a prophet. And on faith and morals, when he speaks with the authority of Christ. The authority that the synagogue people were able to recognize, but they weren't open enough to give their minds and their hearts to believe. So we pray for faith, not just trust in the person, although we need that, and that's a component of it, but the openness to believe with all of our being the message that he is giving to us. Sometimes in the silence and the secrets of our hearts, without coming from the priest or the church as a whole, that spirit is still moving in our hearts. So we pray, Lord, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. One of my favorites is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And then grace also builds on nature. So we can practice with each other. We can pray and then we can practice. How do we practice this openness? Well, we truly try to receive the message someone is giving, even if it seems to come from a faulty source. So, to put an example, a faulty source in Manhattan, Kansas, is anybody from Lawrence or a graduate of the University of Kansas. But just because they wear a Jayhawk on their breast doesn't mean their message is false. Now, it probably is. But it doesn't have to be. So we stay open to the message the person is giving to us to see if it holds truth, because Christ is truth. And when we recognize that, then we assent to it. Then we give our mind to it. And that moves our heart because it's connected. We practice with each other to stay open to what people are giving to us, and we pray for the gift of faith. So by that faith, the Holy Spirit may bring us to eternal life.